Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg, play action, rolls near side, looks downfield, delivers downfield. He's got him at the 50, run him into the 40, 35, 30, 20, run him into the 10, to the 5, touchdown Penn State! A 68-yard strike from Christian Hackenberg to Adam Brenneman. Far side Robinson locked up on Hillary near side. Nobody's on Lewis near side. Nobody at all. Nobody. They throw to Lewis, touchdown Penn State. Gary Anderson was trying to call a timeout and could not get it. Penn State scores. Nobody covered Lewis. Hackenberg saw it and delivered it, and the Nittany Lions are a point away from the tie.
From the eye with two tight ends, Robinson near side. Hackenberg play action fake. Sets, waits. In the end zone, looks. He throws.
Caught it.
And that ball is caught. Touchdown, Penn State. Jesse James, what a throw, what a catch, and the Nittany Lions take the lead.
Play action, Stave, blitz coming, hit as he throws, he fumbled the football, and it's picked up by Penn State to the 40. Alani into the 25, Alani into the 20, and he fumbles it out of bounds at the 18-yard line. Alex Butterworth puts it down, kick by Ficken is up, the kick by Sam Ficken is good, and Penn State has a two-score lead. Good snap. Blitz coming. Back he goes. Hit as he throws. Downfield. Far Lewis reaches out. Makes the catch at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions get the three-score lead. Two near side. Aberdare's far side. Back goes Stave. Pressure. Steps up and down he goes. Anthony Zettel started it. Hull cleaned up with Alanian. And the Nittany Lions take over on downs with 9:44 to go. Leading by 17 points. Stave gets the snap. Back to pass, steps up, long and deep, looking for the end zone. They're down there in the end zone, and it's going to be intercepted by Penn State. The Nittany Lions end the game. Intercepted by Ryan Kaiser in the end zone with 1 second to go, and the Nittany Lions have walked into Madison, and they close out the season with a flourish.
You know, we got a pretty good football team, too. You know, I guess Las Vegas doesn't think so, but, you know, we do. You know, we've lost some close games and some games maybe we could have coached a little bit better in, but overall we've accomplished a lot here in 2 years at Penn State, and today was a great win for our program.
That's once again our Monday montage after the final Penn State football game of the season. A win for the Nittany Lions over Wisconsin, and some great calls there with Steve and Jack. Love the call about uncovered. Love the call about being uncovered. We're going to chat with Steve a little more about that. Totally. I just love the way he did that. We'll play that back and get his thoughts on what was going through his mind at that particular moment. Could talk a little bit about the Mike Tomlin issue. Was it on purpose? Was it not on purpose? Should there be a fine? Should there be a draft pick that is affected by this? Steelers could lose some draft picks because of a fine, according to some reports. So in addition to the fine, I should say, according to some reports. We'll talk more about that. And what was that game that was right after Penn State won? Oh, yeah, Auburn and Alabama. You caught the tail end of that one live on television. And we have the radio call coming up for you. That's all part of the Steve Jones Show. Today, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out what Purdy can do for you online at purdyinsurance.com. Steve Jones from the Sunbury Motors Studio coming up next.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SC, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
For over 150 years, Tag Heuer Swiss luxury watchmaker has brilliantly fused precision with elegance. And Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has an incredible selection to choose from, including the Aqua Racer collection.
That's Jared!
The new Aqua Racer, sophisticated, elegant, and most important, decidedly feminine, is now at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
Rise and shine, early birds.
Look at you, body rested and refreshed, energy restored. Because Unisom let you fall asleep fast and gave you deep, restful sleep all night long. Unisom's clinically proven to give you more of the important sleep, the deep, restful sleep that conforms to your body's natural sleep rhythm. No wonder you're recharged and ready to face the day. Let the sleepyhead snooze. The world's out there waiting. Unisom. Good night, good morning.
The Greater Susquehanna KIZ helps make your dreams and your ideas a reality. How many of us think we have a product or service that could take over the market, but don't do anything about it? The KIZ helped me launch my product, Dirty Boy Laundry Detergent, from the ground up. From design, production, trademarking, and marketing, you name it, they helped. Just visit my website, dirtyboyclean.com, so you can see for yourself. Having someone in your corner is invaluable. Visit gskiz.org today. That's gskiz.org.
When you smile,
you make a lasting impression.
It makes you happy.
And makes other people smile.
And you can start smiling.
Thanks to Paul Vidunas Family Dentistry in Mifflinburg.
Specializing in anxiety-free dentistry, Dr. Paul Vidunas and his staff treat you like family. It's a relaxing atmosphere that leaves you at ease while you get a full spectrum of dental care. From checkups to restorative and cosmetic dentistry, you get
a reason to smile.
Market Street, Mifflinburg, and at VidunasDental.com.
Call 966-1511 and
smile!
And welcome. Great to have you with us. Hope Kevin had a great vacation. I'm surprised you aren't out there right now hunting down Bambi personally.
That'll be later on toward the weekend.
Later? With a weapon is frightening.
Yeah, it'll be in the weekend areas for that. So I was covering for Mark Lawrence this morning, so. Who is the great,
no offense,
the great hunter.
I'm going to find someplace indoors.
I'm not if taking offense to that. Yeah, I understand.
If you're out there with a weapon,
I understand. Trying to find you had a great call. I think it was on this particular catch. I'm going to play it because it was in our Monday montage. But I want to get your thoughts on what was going through your mind as you're calling it. Here's the call.
Far side, Robinson locked up on Hillary. Near side, nobody's on Lewis near side. Nobody at all. Nobody. They throw to Lewis. Touchdown, Penn State.
Was anybody on Lewis? I mean, you sounded so shocked.
You're by the goal line. Don't you think you ought to have 11 guys out there? The rules say you can.
You would hope. I mean, it was just, I just love the way you called it.
Well, the last time I saw something like that was actually in 1989, and it happened twice, and both times it was Terry Smith. He split out against Rutgers, and he split out against BYU, and each time, nobody covered him. Nobody. And he scored touchdowns on both plays. It sort of opens the door to the dark room.
I love the signal that he was making through the whole time, the hurry-up signal, because he realizes nobody's on him, and he's trying to get Hackenberg's attention, And the TV, Steve, and I don't know if you had a chance to see this, they have a close-up of Hackenberg coming to the line. And he looks over to the left, looks over to the right, looks over to the left again. I mean, doesn't even flinch a facial muscle at all. Goes under center, calls for the snap, and throws it. I was really impressed by the poise there. Because young quarterbacks at any level sees an open receiver for a touchdown and realizes you got an easy touchdown pass coming, they have a tendency to hurry up and get to the line quick and try and snap the ball fast. It was all just regular tempo for him. I was really impressed.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, move it.
Well, I can understand, and I'm sure a lot of fans were as well.
I was like, move it, dude. Let's go.
And
I think, Gary Anderson was trying to call a timeout. That's why.
Well, and that was going to be my next question to you. He calls the timeout. All right. He's able to call the timeout. Or, I'm sorry, he's not able to call the timeout. But the discussion on the television side was whether the booth could review that and give him the timeout, because that had been done in previous games.
No.
See, I thought that was unusual as well. I don't know how you could get a review timeout.
Timeout has to be recognized, and not only that, but he also puts himself in a spot where he's running way out of the coach's box to do it. The bottom line is that you're looking at a team in Wisconsin defensively that outthought itself all day. I mean, look at they had 12 players on the field once, 10 players on the field on a couple of occasions, and had 9 players on the field once. They had 9 guys on the field once. Penn State blew that one. Wisconsin outthought itself all day on defense. And going into that game, good friends I have that work there that I really like, respect, their opinion means a lot to me, were telling me nothing but great things about their coordinator, what he's meant, sacrifices that certain guys had meant. But they got into this package game with Penn State, and it just seemed like they were just a beat off all day, just a half a beat here or there off all day on whether or not of what package to put in at what point. And here's the problem that happens. When you're in a conference like the Big Ten, which, as I've mentioned, is not the cradle of quarterbacks, all right? And you run into a guy like this that is a pro-level guy potentially and plays that way, you foul up everybody. And I think it fouled them up as to what to do with it with a guy like this. I think it fouled them up. And they really did not have, I mean, they almost outthought themselves, and it goes back to what I said on Friday's show. Every time, now I know we have a week to analyze such things. I got that. Okay. There's always a week to analyze games, so you think a lot about the other team, what they do, how do you counter it, blah, 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 blah. And I said, the heck with all that. Penn State just needs to play its game and make Wisconsin adjust to them. All we ever hear about Wisconsin all the time is that, you know, time of possession, got to keep their running backs off the field, da-da-da-da-da. How about just scoring? The key is to score. Because by scoring, you then put Wisconsin in the position they don't want to be in. There are certain teams in America that are absolute masters at front-running. Oregon and Baylor, who play a completely different style than Wisconsin does, but they're still masters at front running. You put them in a tough, hard-fought football game where they've got to come from behind, and Wisconsin, Oregon, and Baylor are not built to do that. And Joel Stave, who's a very good quarterback, but is not a great quarterback, you want the ball in his hands, forcing him to win the game. That's where they put him. And guess what? They couldn't.
And just after that game ended, I just switched over to CBS, and I caught another pretty good ending. We should talk about that, too, because that was a fun
ending.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. That was amazing.
That was a fun ending again.
But the greatest coach in the world. I watched that. You know what? I watched that. You know what I thought?
What?
Everybody has a bad day at the office. Nick Saban had a bad day at the office because I'm talking from start to finish.
Yeah, that was not a stellar day for him, no.
News is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. That was not the best day at the office for the greatest coach in the history of the world on Saturday, Nick Saban. And believe me, I think he's a great coach. Great coach. I think it'd be foolish not to think he's a great coach. But he made some decisions. Now, part of those decisions were based in that game, I think in part because his kicking game was so bad, but I don't understand why he wanted to go for, whether they wanted to return it or not. I really was surprised he wanted to go for a 57-yard field goal. And again, Auburn, give them credit. They understood the situation perfectly. They put somebody back to return it. Because guess what you have on the field on your 57-yard field goal?
They're not the fastest guys in the team.
Nope, they are far from it. All right, the fastest guys are going to be the holder and the tight ends. That's it. I mean, that is
The question that runs through my mind, they already had one blocked earlier in the day. Which, okay, that happens, but I just didn't understand why you try and kick it anyway. I mean, if you're going to do something, just throw it into the end zone and hope for the best.
That you do risk interception and being run back and so forth. It's just 57 yards. Look, you don't get 57-yard field goals in college football. It just doesn't happen, okay? You're not playing at Mile High Stadium.
But at least if you throw it into the end zone, you've got at least players on the field that can actually make the tackle. I mean, the odds of going 109 yards against the offense on an interception are a lot smaller or a lot larger than being able to go the distance against your kick team.
Right. It's just when I look at it, I just say to myself, I mean, 57 yards.
It made no sense to me.
What made no sense about it was in a couple of areas. Okay, it made no sense in the area that, number one, a low kick can be blocked and run back. Then you get to this case where, in other words, you mean block because you got to kick it low to begin with. What got me was that, in fact, I think you've got the play-by-play call of it, right?
I do, as a matter of fact. It's the call from. Let's see, that would be IMG Radio Network. And here it is.
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards.
Obviously not the Alabama Radio Network.
No, this was the Auburn IMG Sports Network with Ron Bramblett.
Yeah. And
great call, by the way.
Yeah. Well, who's the other guy? Oh, my God!
You know what? I heard the guy's name, and I can't remember it right now. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. You know, it's now what gets me is the Auburn people are now calling for them to jump and I don't blame them for wanting this, to jump Ohio State in the poll. Part of the problem is that I wish the SEC would do something and play, except for bowl games, outside of its comfort zone. And even then, they're playing at home. Okay? They're playing at home when they play bowl games. You know, I think we all know this from Penn State. And that's the, you know, I mean, you look at their non-conference schedule. I mean, there's nothing daring about it. I mean, what's daring about the Auburn non-conference schedule? Outside of Alabama, what's daring about anybody's non-conference schedule? Alabama will always go out and play somebody. That's why I've always respected what they've done, whether it was Nick or Bear Bryant or Gene Stallings or whomever.
Well, you could say the same thing for Ohio State, too.
No, I disagree with that.
This year...
Yeah, this year, but I mean, Ohio State went out and they played Texas home and away under Jim Tressel. I mean, it's they've you know.
No, I just mean this year.
They had a home and away with USC. I mean, when they scheduled Cal, it was when Jeff Tedford was having some really good years. It just turned out, but see, they've got a lot of money. They should have bought out a game and found a game, and I've maintained that the entire time. They should have bought a game and bought out a game and found a game. And that's what's kind of bugged me about what they did.
No, I agree with you in the thought that Auburn should not have leapfrog Ohio
State.
No, they should not. If Ohio State had one loss, then yes, I think a leapfrog would have been appropriate there. I think Auburn 2 would have made more sense.
Right, but they're undefeated. Obviously, back-to-back games now that they've played Ohio State, they're giving up a lot of points. They gave up a lot of points to Illinois, and they gave up a ton to Michigan. Michigan's a two-point conversion away from tying the damn thing. So, I mean, that's, you know, and I give, first of all, Brady Hoke a lot of credit. I go for two there. That's not the play I run. Okay.
It's the right call, wrong play.
Right, you got to give get Devin Gardner to the edge. You got to give Devin Gardner in a run pass mode where now you've got them worried about what's he going to do. And just the mere thought of him running as he approaches the line of scrimmage, you may release somebody and all of a sudden he can throw the ball. I mean, that's the part that got me.
By the way, the color commentator, I believe, is the former quarterback, Stan White. He was a quarterback, I think, in the 90s for Auburn.
Yeah. Well.
Played for your Giants, too, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he added a lot there. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, what more can you say? Because... Bramblett did a great job of calling that. I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot more to say.
Right. Oh, I know. There's not a lot more to say there. There's no doubt.
That might have been actually the most appropriate thing for a color commentator to say right there.
Right. Well, you know,
I said the same thing, and I wasn't even doing the game. I said it listed in my recliner.
Well, I mean, the worst you're going to get out of this is overtime. The worst you're going to get out of this is overtime. Okay. I mean, really, that's the worst you're going to get out of this if you take a knee or an Auburn situation, you know, that's the worst you're going to get, I think, from 57 yards out. I mean, he may have a heck of a leg, but still. Wow.
Trying to see if I have any of Nick Saban's comments in the post game.
Well, yeah, but you know what? He made a lot of decisions in that game that were not great decisions.
Well, here, he talks about the losing play here.
It just looked like we didn't have anybody out on the right side. You know, the right wing and the right tight end. Everybody's supposed to fan the field. We covered to the left. That's why he went to the right. So I couldn't see it that well down their sidelines, but first time I've ever lost a game that way. First time I've ever seen a game lost that way.
Yeah, he's right about that.
Yeah. Can't really argue with that.
No, you can't. But I wouldn't have done it.
Well, now here he talks about a few of the mistakes. We'll see if he discusses anything other than player mistakes or if he addresses his own.
I was really proud of the way our guys competed out there today. But the fact of the matter is we didn't make plays when we needed to. Whether it's a made field goal with a penalty, a missed field goal after that, going for it on fourth and less than a yard and not being able to make it, making the decision to do what we did at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, he takes blame. He talked about the decision at the end.
Well, he's also right about fourth and one. I mean, as an offense, you should be able to get 1 yard when you need it. Matter of fact, I think that's almost a direct quote from Bill O'Brien when he was on, when they were doing the ESPN did the package with him in the summer when they were doing the four. I'm not sure the name of the drill, Steve. You probably know the name of the drill, but they go down to the goal line, and he said it's your job of the defense to stop it. It's your job as the offense is to get it. In a nutshell,
exactly. And I mean, and that's what it comes out of the end. That's the drill. It's going in. It's called.
That's it. Thank you.
Simple as
it.
Just,
I knew
it's,
there was
it's
a simple
very
answer.
Simple. Yeah, there's coming out and going in. So they're going. They're going in. So that's offense going in. And you know, it's again. I did not feel like. And I think part of it, the game he called, part of it had to do with his special teams. They already missed how many field goals? I mean, they already missed, what, three field goals in the game they already missed? And this was very reminiscent of the game they played with LSU at home a couple of years ago when they didn't have to play in the SEC championship game. You know, kind of avoided that and then played LSU for the national championship. It was the same kind of game that night in Tuscaloosa where the kicking game killed them. Cade Foster and Shelley were both missing field goals, and they didn't know what to do. I mean, Foster's missing field goals, so that Shelley's the short guy. He's the short field goal kicker. They sent him out to kick a long field goal because they just didn't know what to do, and that's a big part of it. You can have all the five-star guys you want. Dude doesn't kick it, you aren't going to win. I mean, that's a big, big part of this whole thing. That's a big part of it. If you you can have all the five-star guys you want. And that is a. If you can't kick it, which is a third of the game, doesn't matter how many stars you have at linebacker and at running back, there's going to be a point in the game where you're going to need to make a kick. They didn't make any.
Jeez, I'm surprised we're 48 minutes into the show and you haven't asked me about Mike Tomlin.
Because it was Thursday and
and I haven't talked since Thursday anyway.
Yeah, I know. That explains why my blood pressure is down.
Mine wasn't Thursday night. Actually, I got a text from a friend that said, they're starting to come back. I said, not excited yet. They go for two. He goes, are you excited now? No, not really. And then the 2-point fails. I'm like, that's why I didn't get excited yet.
Well, he should be fined heavily, and it should be a six-figure fine.
Yes.
Can't
Whether
be
it was
on
an accident or on purpose, it was wrong.
Yeah. He can't be on the field. And that's the issue here.
But there should not be, and I've heard rumors of this, Steve.
Yeah,
there
should not be a draft pick.
That really bugs me.
That's absurd.
That really bugs me because, as you've often said on this program, the punishment should fit the person that actually committed the offense.
Yes, of course it should.
And that is the entire team, and the entire team did not do something wrong.
Right. The organization didn't do anything wrong. You know, and by the way, Steve Sarkisian's the new head coach at USC.
Is that official? Because the last I'd heard, it was still unofficial.
Look, he's in, all right?
All right.
He's in. He was the offensive coordinator at USC when Penn State played them in the Rose Bowl in 2008, the 2009 Rose Bowl. Tomlin was not trying to... There's no doubt Tomlin's not trying to interfere. He's not trying to interfere. I think that's why he looked up and went... When he looked at the scoreboard and realized that he was on the scoreboard, his first thought was, that's not good.
Is it the same thing as dumping a drink on the floor? I don't think so.
No, that was deliberate. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So you liked my Ghost Rider call on
that was on, the best
on Gino.
Nobody.
Nobody over there.
Nobody.
Well, there was nobody.
Well, and you can in the background you can hear Jack laughing, you know, because he's probably thinking the same thing I am. Like, yeah, there isn't anybody there. You're right.
But it's like. And Anderson was really, Gary Anderson, who, by the way, is a really good coach and a real class act. I mean, really good football coach, real class act. Okay. So let's at least start there. All right. Was mad at the officials about not giving him the timeout. And I said, he ought to be mad at his defensive coordinator's personnel for not having somebody there. I said, that's where I'd be mad.
Nobody's on Lewis near side. Nobody at all. Nobody.
I just love that. That was great. I mean, that simple 4 seconds set the scene without having to have the TV in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because well. They're lit. And looking back on it as I was watching and listening, there is literally no one within about 50 yards. I mean, it seems. Well, everybody was at the middle of the field and... Lewis was just standing there going, come on, hurry up, let's go.
Well, I like setting formations because I think the fan listening should know where the chess pieces are when it starts. And at the same time, for me, it also reminds me of where everybody is. So, you know, I always try to usually 8 times out of 10, I start at the top, far side, and then I go to near. Usually take it that direction. So Robinson was on the far side, and I mentioned that Darius Hillary was on him. If I recall what I said, I think I said that Robinson's the far side and Hillary's on him.
Far side Robinson locked up on Hillary, near side.
Yeah. So then I go near side, it's like, and Lewis is basically locked up on no one. You know, there's a guy in the band.
Were they in the middle of it? Were they doing a personnel? Was that a package change that they were in the middle of? Or
they weren't in the middle of anything. Okay?
Because I was trying to figure out how no one saw the receiver there.
Yeah, well, no, they had changed personnel, but they did it when Penn State was in the huddle. And whomever was supposed to be out there sort of forgot to be in the game. Normally, I can understand too many men in the field. Everybody wants to play.
You know, is this an argument? Now, I'm thinking a little off the wall here, but is this an argument that maybe coaches should have a timeout buzzer?
For what?
I'm just thinking to be able to call a timeout. in that particular case, the official, and I was reading lips, said, I never saw you.
Right, because guess what? You're supposed to stay in the coach's box
right.
up to the 25-yard line.
Correct, which is well away from the goal line in that particular time, and it was very loud. So yelling timeout wasn't going to help. I'm just looking at things from Wisconsin's standpoint, and, you know,
It's not the official's fault that Wisconsin decided that a 10-man package was the best way to go in the goal line.
Agreed. No argument there whatsoever.
Okay, that's a coaching and personnel problem.
Right.
That's not the officials. They aren't wrong in that. The guy at the goal line, look, first of all, Penn State's at the line of scrimmage. His job is not to be looking back at Gary Anderson to see if he wants a timeout.
Also a good point.
Okay, his job is to be looking at the line of scrimmage. Now, anyway, is Lewis lined up properly? Is the tight end covered? Somebody move, which apparently happened a couple times Saturday. Okay, it's not his job to look back and go, hey, do you want to take a timeout or not? Yeah, no? Oh, they snapped it. I missed the whole play. What happened? Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance.